D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. Pleased to be joined, as we are every week, by Predators GM Barry Trotz. Hi, Barry. How are you?
I'm good.
How was your Thanksgiving?
It was lonely in Detroit and Chicago.
That's true.
But it was good.
Glad to hear it. So you were quoted in ESPN in the story that published last Tuesday that the next 7 or 8 games would be a good indicator of how you proceed. And since you gave those comments, the team's played 4 games. You're 2-2. You lost a tough one at home last week to Florida, but you've been more competitive in the past 3 games. So how have the past 4 games influenced your decision-making process at all?
I think when you make that statement, I want to see how the team would respond. I think Ryan O'Reilly, I just saw one of his interviews, when you're not going good, bad things happen. And to me, that was great leadership by him. He's so correct and very accurate for, you know, where we are. Let's face it, we're not where we want to be. And when you're not where you want to be, then you start, you know, making the changes necessary to do that. So, you know, obviously we're meeting every day. We're planning. We're looking. I'm working the phones, getting a lot of phone calls, obviously, where teams are after the Thanksgiving break. That's sort of an area where teams start calling. Been a little bit more quiet the first 20. Teams, you're going to get teams that know where they are right now and say, hey, we're good. This is the direction we're going in. You're going to have a bunch of teams going, we don't know where we are because we're still in the mix and we don't know how good we're going to be. And, you know, so we're just going to, you're getting a call, but there's not a lot of substance to it. And then you get teams that know where they're going to be and they say, hey, we're looking to add this. And so it's my job is to feel those calls and see what teams are looking for. And if they have anything of substance come our way, then I've got to make some evaluations on you know what is offered and good deal, bad deal, something we want to do or something we don't want to do.
You're playing a team tonight that is in a similar position.
Yeah.
in Calgary, and I'm wondering if as you broach these phone calls, as you take stock of what you may or may not do, there are other teams like the Flames, for example. The Canucks have reportedly let people know that they are looking to sell. Do you look at their rosters and say, well, hey, they've got the same type of players available that we may have available? And does that enter into your calculus? Like, I need to act perhaps before another contending team calls one of those teams, gives them a deal that I could have, if that makes sense.
I would probably say unless there's a pinpointed player that a team calls about, they're going to call all the teams. Mm-hmm. They're going to call if there's a certain player that we have similar to Calgary, for instance, tonight. They may make a call and say, hey, what are you looking for? I'm looking for that player. What's your ask? And they're just evaluating the same way in reverse of what we're doing. So, you know, until there's some movement, I think you're going to get a lot of calls. You're going to feel them, and you're going to assess every potential transaction, if the best way to say.
You mentioned Ryan O'Reilly earlier. There was a report last week from TSN, I believe it came out right after we got off the phone with you, that the asking price for Ryan O'Reilly is a first-round pick plus an A-level prospect. Would you consider that an accurate description of what you're looking for Ryan O'Reilly?
I would love that if, you know, that wasn't my ask. Just let people know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff that's out in the marketplace right now that is not accurate at all. But it's great reading and it's great social media and it gets everybody their hits and all that. And but I would say that, you know, Ryan O'Reilly is a very valuable player to the Nashville Predators, not only on the ice, but culturally and all that. That the ask is definitely in that ballpark for sure. And, you know, that to me, the difficult question I know that you're going to ask is how do you weigh that?
Right.
And it's very difficult. So if you set a certain price and you get it, then you have to live by it a lot of times. But you know that wasn't something that was put out by me. That was something from someone else. I have my price and on certain things, and the people I've talked to that are or called me and asked about him, I've given them a certain price tag, if you will.
So bear with me here for a moment. Barry Trotz is with us. So when the Titans were approaching the NFL trade deadline, a lot of us wanted the Titans to trade Jeffrey Simmons because the Titans are in a similar position as the Predators, and Jeffrey Simmons, as the best player on the team, probably represented the Titans' best chance to get a premium asset that could help kickstart their retool, their rebuild, etc. They said he's off limits, and after the trade deadline passed, the GM, Mike Borgonzi, said, "We never even considered trading Jeffrey Simmons because of how important we think he is to reestablishing the culture for the Tennessee Titans." So I'm curious, are O'Reilly's intangibles, because I view O'Reilly through the same prism with you as the Titans did with Jeffrey Simmons. So are O'Reilly's intangibles more valuable to you than the premium assets you could receive by trading him?
I think that's I can't really answer that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you why is that, you know, Ryan's wherever he is, if he's with us or somewhere else, and I have no intentions right now, you know, to move him today or anything like that. We haven't even had that discussion. What I've said to him is, let's get winning hockey games. That's it, plain and simple. So a lot of the noise is out there, all that. We haven't had any discussions. And the best way to say this is, I said, everything's on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to do that for our ownership. I have to do it for our room. I have to do it for the fans. I have to do it. I have to see what's out there. Everything's on the table. And when I say that, I sincerely mean that. It doesn't mean that I'm going to move Brian O'Reilly. It doesn't mean I'm going to move this guy, but I have to listen, because we're in no position not to listen.
And Barry, I think what I think of when Adam asked that question, I think of a guy like Luke Evangelista, who clearly is benefiting by playing with a great player like Ryan O'Reilly. Not only what's happening when they're out there on the ice, but the influence that Ryan O'Reilly has on a young player like Evangelista. So that's part of, I think, what you have to consider, right?
Absolutely. Well, here's the things that people don't know, and I'm going to take this room here. I said one of the media heads out there said that our room is toxic.
Yes.
And that is a bunch of bull. I'm just telling you. Whoever I know who said it, it is bull. And our guys get along quite well with each other. It's not toxic. It's a good locker room. I can give you an example. And Willie, I think Willie goes to the gym once in a while.
I do.
He saw it in Thanksgiving. We had a day, you know, we were playing in between. We didn't have any ice. And we had Ryan O'Reilly and Stamkos and the young group in the gym. Unsolicited, on a day off, they were...
Nobody told them they had to be there.
No one told them they had to be there. They, the group, went together there. Willie was part of a dinner. How was the dinner? It was great.
Yeah, it was,
we had laughs and we had fun, and the guys hung around. If it was toxic, they wouldn't hang around. They hung around. We had fun, and we won a hockey game the next night. And so the stuff that's out there, I hate when it's just out there and it's not truth. So I just want to clear that up, because it's not. We haven't been a good hockey team, good enough hockey team to get enough wins. But we have some really good people in there.
I do want to ask you one other thing about that report that you're referencing from Frank Saravalli. You mentioned no toxicity in the dressing room. You're not getting any sense that there's any toxicity emanating from the dressing room up the ladder to management, ownership, anything like that?
No. I think I got a pretty good relationship. Guys can come up and talk to me and have their opinions and their thoughts. But I can tell you this, if we sat down with our leadership group, they'd say, "Hey, collectively, we gotta just be better." I mean, we lost some games. I look at the Winnipeg. You know, we win that game. We're four. I think we're 2 points behind Winnipeg. We'd have won that game the other night. We're within a striking distance of Winnipeg, and we didn't win the hockey game. They just had a game, I think the night before in Carolina, and they got handed a tough loss, and they got called out, and so they came. There was nothing in that game, and there wasn't a lot happening between either teams. We gave up two goals. One was a little bit of a dive in off a line change where our depth is you know, the younger player took a little bit of deeper dive, created a little bit of a 3-on-2. They scored on that. The other one was on a protocol and a controlled forecheck. Could have probably had the save there a little bit. Didn't get that, and we're down in the hole 2-0. We battled back, and I felt like we were coming on. And when it was 3-2, I felt we were going to get that.
Then the penalty gets called.
And then that's
debatable cool. call.
Yeah, they're all debatable with you up there.
I said it. You didn't have to say it.
But at the same time, you see that they're right. We're right there, but we just can't get on the right side of enough wins. And that's part of the process. I mean, I get a glimpse into the future. I mean, you get the number of guys. We have 6 rookies, I think, playing this year. I can't remember the Preds having 6 rookies and go through the filter through the lineup. And I'm guaranteeing you, before the end of the year, you're going to have 10 or 11. And, you know, that's a great position to be in, where you feel comfortable with calling up 10, 11 guys. You look into the future, you know, Matthew Wood started in Milwaukee. He's on our team. You know he's going to be fine. He's going to find his way. He's going to be good this week and maybe not so good the next week. And hopefully he just keeps building. You're seeing in Luke Evangelista, you know, that sort of dogginess and that confidence, that swagger that Luke had, he sort of lost it a little bit last year. And I think he's getting it back.
I was going to ask you specifically about him, because I am seeing that. And the numbers show it, right? His last dozen games or so, he's producing. So what is it besides the – I think when you play well, you get that swagger. But what are the things that he's worked on? Because obviously it was a long negotiation to work out what the next thing is. But now he's starting to show why.
Well, I think 2 things. He really worked hard on the skating. I mean, that's the one, you know, a little bit of the one hang up with Luke is that his skating, the separation in this league is really hard. It's getting faster and faster. It's getting younger and younger, and it's hard to get separation. And Luke was he would slow it down a little bit and you know, they lose some opportunities. I think now he's got that, you know, he's worked on it all summer, put in the time, it's starting to show. And he's got the doggedness that he had sort of lost a little bit, you know, and that's part of confidence too, and that's coming together. You know, you saw on the flip side, you saw, you know, Svetch. I thought, you know, he felt really good coming in the camp, didn't get off to get any production early, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's starting to wonder and doubt himself. He got a big goal, you know, I think get the little bit of the you know, confidence back. You look at Matthew, Schaefer. That's one of the, you know, when we started peeling off guys as part of the Ekholm trade. You know, you look at the Ekholm trade. It's been a few years now. You're starting to see Reed Schaefer starting to play his first game.
It seems like it was a long time ago with that trade, man. You're just now seeing Reed Schaefer.
Yeah, you're seeing Reed Schaefer. You're going to see Tanner Molendijk. That's the other piece that was in that. So, you know, going forward here, that's why. Trying to buy some time for our young guys to do that little, we talked about that blend, mm-hmm. where they don't have to take the whole load on night in and night out, and hopefully they can get some better matchups. They can get their confidence. They can get a little bit of swagger, because if you lose your swagger, it takes time. That's also probably happened with, you know, we can say Stammer and Marchie and some of the older guys. You know, when you're not, when you're scoring, you're feeling it, and Stammer's starting to score. So when he starts to score, he starts to get his swagger back, and then all of a sudden things go. You know, Marchie, he's been in and out of the lineup with some injuries. If he can get his swagger back, boy, I mean, he's been a guy that, you know, in his whole career, both of them, they have been streaky guys. When they get on a hot streak, they go. I mean, I look at Marchie last year. I don't think he had much for points in the last 20, sort of blending in. With you guys, you know, the last couple of years, but the first 20 games, I don't think Marchie had much production.
Right, and last year, yeah.
Then all of a sudden, he went on a tear, and he ended up with I think 56, 57 points. I mean, you really look in the league, there's not that many guys that were able to do that last year. You know, you always think, well, he had 56, 57 points. That doesn't seem like a lot, but you really look at it through the league, there's not as many guys as you think have 56, 57 points, whatever he had. So when these guys get into a little bit of a rhythm and a hot streak, I mean, they could put up multiple points and get
That was D-Mace's fault, by the way.
That was D-Mace.
Derek is okay.
We call that a fumble on D-Mace. He never fumbled with the football, but he just fumbled some equipment.
That usually is the sound when I was coaching, when I didn't really... when I wanted to move some furniture, I didn't like the way we played. There was some furniture moving around.
Well, let me ask you, Barry, about a guy that's sort of in a category of himself. We talk a lot about the veteran players that you need to sort of carry the load, and then these young guys who are just starting to get it. Nick Blankenberg is the unicorn, right? He's a guy that's never had anything given to him or everything guaranteed. He's a guy that you will have to make a decision on contractually at some point.
Yeah.
So what are you seeing? Everybody seems to be falling in love with this guy.
Well, it's pretty hard not to. You look at Nick, his whole career. If you really followed his career, he'll tell you, he was out of the Detroit area or the Michigan area. Wanted to go to the University of Michigan, wanted to play junior, wasn't good enough to play junior. He sort of got, you're too small, you can't do this. He went out to Alberta, I believe, and they put him on defense. He was a forward. They put him on defense. He had great success. Then the University of Michigan, I think, came back and said, hey, why don't you come on as a walk-on and partial scholarship, that type of thing. And he all of a sudden, a year or two later, he's the captain of the team and still undersized, undervalued. And everybody's doubted it, Nick all the way through. And he's just fought through it. I mean, even coming into this year, I said to Nick, I said, let's start out in a hotel. Don't get a place.
And that's got to be hard, right? Because he played pretty well last year.
And he played great for us last year. But you know that you were adding pieces on defense, and I said, let's just play this out. And he didn't play much at the start of the year, but every day he gives you everything he has. Every game when he steps on, he plays like it's going to be his last game, and that's culturally, that's a great fit. And I like the fact that Bruno and the coaching staff are rewarding him for producing. It's not where he was, it's where he is now, and are you getting the job done? And he has been. And there's some times when the size comes into the play, but I'll tell you what, there's so many good things on in his game. And for the fans who watch and you see Nick killing penalties, I mean, he's playing defense for us 5-on-5, and then all of a sudden we're killing a penalty, he's playing forward. And I don't know if people necessarily...
It takes me a second to notice it. So wait a minute. There's two other defensemen on the ice. Yeah. What are we doing? He's playing forward.
And like you say, he's a little bit of a unicorn, because it doesn't matter where you put him. He's going to give you a max effort. And I'll tell you what. If you come and watch the Preds every night, that's... you want us to win. I want to win. But if you're getting max effort, the efforts of Blankenberg and guys like that, I think you can... You can live with that. I can live with that as a GM, is that you're getting max effort from everybody. And, some nights you're not going to have it. This, Willie, the travel and the number of games, you see how many guys are getting hurt. You don't have it every night, so you got to find a way to manage it. And in the nights that you have it, you got to use it to your advantage and produce. And, Nick plays with his hair on fire every game, and that's what you love about him. Never complains about a thing. You never know if he's hurt or not, because he won't tell you, I don't think. Because that's just the way he is. He's a special, special young man.
Barry Trotz has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Of course, he joins us every Tuesday during hockey season. Barry, as always, great to see you. It's been a few weeks since we've seen you. Enjoy the game tonight. Good luck.
All right, thank you.
615-737-1025. We will react to what Barry Trotz had to say. Hopefully Derek doesn't break anything between now and the next segment. But we will react to what Barry had to say, and we'll take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. We are presented by Bax Homeworks. Remodeling done right. Get a free estimate now at BAXHomeworks.com.